Just before we get started, the Second Act Podcast would like to acknowledge that we are recording this podcast on Treaty 7 land inhabited by the Blackfoot Nations. This includes the Siksika, Piikani, and Kainai. We would also like to acknowledge the Tsuut'ina and Stoney Nakoda First Nations, as well as the Métis Nations and all people who make their home on Treaty 7 land in southern Alberta. But now that we've paid respects to people that were here before us, let's start the pod.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Second Act Podcast, and today's guest is Dr. Natalie May.
Natalie was a find on one of the podcasts. I think I found her on one of the podcast forums that I'm a part of. But what an incredible story. I mean, this woman was born in Hungary. Her parents wanted her to have a career in economics, so she did that, went to university. She was wildly successful. It got to the point where she didn't even want to do it anymore. Because she didn't find it fulfilling. So she moved to the U.S. And moved to Miami and quickly found herself in a situation in Miami where she was addicted to cocaine and she was an alcoholic. Again, she was very successful. She had no trouble affording all the trappings of that lifestyle. But she knew that wasn't the reason she was put on earth. And she has a way more fulfilling life now as she's gone on to become a behavioral therapist and addictions counselor.
Yeah, and on this pod, we've highlighted people who have immigrated from other countries and shown how they made it through. But I feel like Natalie's story really shows the ups and the downs of that process. It's incredibly stressful to be in a new country. You might not know the language very well. And even if you do, you might not. There's lots of cultural barriers that you have to understand and get around. And a lot of the time, people do turn to drugs and alcohol, and it's very impressive when they manage to steer away from that and start leading such productive lives like Natalie did.
Yeah, no, it's an incredible story. I mean, she kind of hits the ground running here telling her story, and she fills us in with all the details. She doesn't leave any stone unturned, and we get to have the real honest conversation in the last half of the podcast about, you know, how she manages to maintain that focus today and that ability to just keep soldiering on and doing what she feels like she's put on this earth to do, which is help people who are currently struggling with addiction find their footing and make their way. So without any further ado, let's kick it over to Dr. Natalie May. I really appreciate you taking some time to sit down and chat with us. I've talked to a number of people who have kind of spend time in their life as an addict or, you know, suffering from behavior that was not conducive to living a great life. And there's so many different ways to kind of change your life and live a different style of life. And I think you're the first person who like went the clinical route and became a psychologist and like is trying to understand it from the other side. And so I'm really anxious to hear your story and what went into the decisions to end up being a behavioral therapist and recovery specialist.
So my story is an interesting one. I grew up in a family of professors of economics, and my father was quite a dictator. So he wanted me to follow his steps and to also be an economist. It was like non-negotiable. So he sent me to economic university. And I graduated. I had to graduate from the university, and I hated the university. I hated economics, and I didn't understand why do I have to do this in my life. But he said that you must do it, and after you can study anything you want. So I was like, kind of, yes, I didn't have a choice. So after graduating from economics university, I got a job. I just, you know, continued living my life as an economist. I had like a corporate job, and a few years later, became a part of a private consulting company, and we were like making business consulting services for foreigners in Russia, in Moscow. That was like, I spent most of my life as a business person and in business environment, let's say. But all of my life was also full of like depression and anxiety, and I had some issues with my parents. I didn't get along with my father at all, my mother. So I wanted to just to distance myself from my family as far as possible. So we lived in different countries. And also I suffered from abuse when I was younger, like I was raped and, you know, things like that. So it was like very traumatic experience for me. And I kind of like had everything inside of me. I didn't share it with anyone because I grew up in a culture where psychologists were not common, let's say, unless you have like a serious problem with your head. And unfortunately, I didn't consult with anyone about this until I was like much older. And when I was already working in consulting company as a, let's say, financial executive. So at that point, I started having a big problem with drinking. So I was like drinking every day. And I was just like suffering from depression and anxiety. I didn't know it was depression and anxiety because, you know, Russians like are taught to be tough, that everything is, you know, everything has to be always like, so we don't really show our feelings, and especially when we are vulnerable, we are not accustomed to show it to anyone, and we have to like just shut up and do our job. So so this was like most part of my life. And so once I went to see a therapist, but somehow like I could not connect with her. I could not even imagine myself telling my problems to that lady. Because I think it was like I was like ashamed, and I couldn't like share it with anyone and with her. So I went on with my life, and some years later I also started having a drug problem because I moved to Miami, and in Miami it's very hard to stay away from drugs.
Yeah,
everywhere. Yes, and for me it was a new thing because before that I didn't really go to clubs and I wasn't in the culture. But in Miami I became a part of that culture because let's say I had the financial stability and a lot of free time, and I didn't have direction in life at all. So I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had some wealth accumulated, and I was just like thinking, okay, let me see what I can do in life. I was thinking already then to study psychology, but I checked in America, it was quite difficult for me to do it. So I would have to study for some years and have to do a lot of exams, and it was also expensive. And it would have to be like a commitment. So I think that there was no online education at that time. So I would have to do like a normal school. So I decided to postpone that idea and just like enjoy my life for a couple of years. And it was a wrong decision because I actually made a lot of damage to myself by falling into this club culture. And I was surrounded with people who didn't have real jobs, and they mostly went to clubs and maybe did some illegal things. Yeah. And I became a part of that group of people, and I was also let's say going downhill with everything. Like I tried to do some businesses, but it didn't work out. Because I was not concentrating, I was not paying attention, I was neglecting my responsibilities, and I started losing money. So at that point, I realized that okay, that it's not working. It's not working well for me. But I'm here in Miami. It's supposed to be the best place on earth, but instead, I'm just hanging out with like some not so good people, and not doing anything meaningful with my life. So, yes, at that point, I decided that, okay, I have to change. I have to make a big change in my life. And I isolated myself from this culture. I just shut myself off. I deleted all the numbers. I stopped going to clubs. And I devoted a lot of time to volunteer work I volunteered to the church, Presbyterian Church of Miami. So I worked there a little bit, and it kind of was very good for me, spiritually, let's say, to connect to this culture. It was, of course, much better than the drugs, but still I didn't have any resolution for my inner conflicts, for my depression, for my anxiety, for my traumas, which I experienced when I was younger, and like my loneliness and all these things were still there. So I was still like periodically drinking a lot and like not doing well in my life, let's say. I did not know what kind of business I want to do. I was doing some real estate, just a little bit, just to cover my bills, let's say, and like my necessities, but I was not growing. I was not doing anything meaningful with my life. Okay, I did some volunteering, but I had like a bigger vision for my life, and I was like really struggling because I didn't know what it's going to be. I reached out to a coaching school, so I started even doing coaching course. But even there, it's like somehow I did not connect to the people there. So it did not go well for me. So it's like kind of for like several years, it kept on going very bad. And in the end of 2019, I returned back to Europe, and I decided, okay, let me start from the beginning in Europe, because United States, like, it's not working for me, unfortunately. And also my father had a stroke, and my mother asked me to be closer to them. So I returned to Europe, and it was just before the COVID pandemic. So I said, okay, let me stay in Europe. I will do real estate here. Maybe I will work with American clients. I will like bring them to Europe. But unfortunately, COVID started, and there was no opportunity for me to work with my own business, because it was based on the foreign clients and all the borders were closed. So at that time, I decided that, okay, this is like a sign for me. This is an opportunity to study, finally, because there is nothing else to do anyway. And I found a Russian university of psychology, which was offering online education. So I started doing program there. I got a degree of doctor of psychology there. When I was studying psychology, I thought I will do it mainly for myself. I didn't imagine myself working with other people. I thought, okay, I'll do it just to solve my own problems, because anyway, I cannot find a therapist for me. I cannot find a group of people with whom I can relate, to whom I can talk about my problems. So I have to like resolve my own problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like be my own therapist in a way, and it really worked well for me. I learned a lot of tools which were extremely practical for me. I also did parallelly like a course on cognitive behavioral therapy in English. So I was doing like a Russian official education, and also I was doing like online course in English because of it was also interesting for me to compare like the Russian way of teaching and the English way of teaching. And so I realized that it's a very, very powerful tool, and it can help everyone like to resolve their problems, like either if they will study it by themselves or if they will find a therapist, a cognitive behavioral therapist that will work for them. But just the main thing is that you will be able to find a person with whom you can connect on a personal level. And that was a challenge for me. So I decided that maybe because it was a challenge for me, then maybe like I will be a good therapist for someone who can also like not, who cannot find someone else out there. And like this, I decided to practice psychology. So I was starting practicing online a little bit, not so much, because I was still working with real estate at that point. I was also working with Dubai real estate online, But the more I worked with Dubai, the more I realized that it's not for me, because there, you know, the market is absolutely different from United States, where everyone has like a license and everyone has a property. Property has a number. You know, everything is under control. But in Dubai, it was like a chaos. And, yes, and there were so many things going wrong. And, I don't know, 20 agents for one property, and everyone wants to go behind each other's back. And so it's a very, like, chaotic market. And so I thought, okay, maybe it's not for me at all. So I should look into psychology. And exactly at this time, the war started with Ukraine. So I had an opportunity to practice with many people, because a lot of people needed psychological help since the war started, both Ukrainians and Russians. So that's when I decided to stop doing business completely. It was like 2 years ago, and dedicate myself completely to psychology and to working with people who need help. So after working for a year and a half with, let's say, refugees and people who relocated, I also understood that it's difficult for me, because I cannot really help them, because they all just wait for the war when it will stop. They don't want to move on with their lives. So they're like kind of put their life on hold, and yep, they're just watching the news, waiting for the war to finish. But, you know, the time passes, but maybe we will never see the end of this war. Unfortunately, no one knows how it's going to look like. And so I decided to find another focus group, let's say, to whom I can bring like immediate help, to whom I can deliver my service, and it will change their life in a short period of time, because it will bring me more satisfaction as a professional.
Yeah.
So this is how I decided to focus on addiction, because I went through that. For me, addiction to alcohol and to drugs, it was a self-therapy cure my depression, my anxiety, my loneliness, you know, things like this, just emotions, basically. And also the trauma which I experienced earlier in life. So I understand people who are also self-medicating themselves for certain conditions, and I think I can, you know, relate to them. And when you can relate between a client and a psychologist, then it's like a key major factor for success in the therapy. So yes, right now I'm working with the people, helping them with addiction. So any type of addiction to substances. I just finished writing a book on this topic also. It's called Just Stop Addiction with Cognition. And there I also provide my basic therapy tools, which is a life planner, basically. So it's a tool how to plan your life in 8 pillars of happiness. So it's like a comprehensive life planner tool, which I believe is the most important for a person who wants to move ahead and reach like a healthy and happy life. So this is what I teach people in my therapy, how to plan their life ahead and how to stick to the goals and accomplish them. So it's like a combination of psychology and the coaching program. So this is what I do.
Well, that's an incredible story. I mean, you've touched on all corners of the world and all matters of, you know, you had success. You've had trauma. You've helped yourself, you know, understand what it is that's going on within you. You know, you talked about the trauma when you were younger, but there wasn't a lot of awareness around what those feelings were, but you knew you weren't happy. There was depression and anxiety, but it's not like in today's world where through social media and the internet, you know, people can go and look those things and understand and at least get a start. How did you decide at some point, even though you were successful, you had this economics career, you were doing the things that your father, your parents had wanted for you. How did you decide, like, was there a single event where something that should have made you very happy didn't? Or how did you understand that this wasn't the path for you? Was it a series of events that led you to understand that?
So probably it was a series of events because, you know, from my early years, I was taught that success equals like financial success.
Right.
Basically. So this is what I was taught. And that's why I was striving for financial success. So when I reached a certain level, when I didn't have to work even, I didn't have to do anything. I had a beautiful apartment and like everything I wanted to buy, like all the designer, you know, clothes yeah. And shoes. And I could, I traveled all the time and I was taking my parents on vacations in five-star hotels in Dominican Republic, or I rented a house in Seychelles for 1 year for our family just to be together. And also I could afford like all the freedom in the world and I could do anything I wanted, but I was unhappy and I didn't know what I want to do. So so then I realized that it's not the financial success that makes a person truly happy, that there is something else. So I started looking in spirituality. And I tried to like, I studied like all the religions. So Judaism, Islam, all types of Christianity. Because before I would say I was an atheist, like let's say I would call myself an atheist, but in Miami, I started watching television, like Christian television. And I let's say was converted into a Protestant Christian by Billy Graham, who was talking on Trinity Broadcasting Network. And I was really moved by the speeches that they were giving. And I joined the Presbyterian Church. But I also after going there, I realized, okay, they don't give me the answers. So, okay, I realized I have to be like a good person. I have to help. I have to volunteer. But what about me? What about my life? Who do I need to be? Like, what was I made for? Like from the Barbie movie, we have a song now.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was I made for? You know, why I cannot find peace and happiness? Like, why? And also that's why I did not have a success in my relationships because I did not know who I was. I had, psychologists called it like a fake personality or a fake identity. So I was given this fake identity since my childhood when my father just pushed me to economic university when in fact I was a completely different person. I wanted to be a journalist or a social worker. I was writing novels, I was writing music. When I was a kid, I was designing clothes. So I had like this creative mindset and they made me a manager, which is completely the opposite. So I lived my life with a fake identity, trying to fit in because, okay, my father wanted me this way. Then society wanted me this way. They wanted me to do sales for them. They wanted me to do contracts for them. Like, you know, and this is what I thought I needed to do to be successful. But when, you know, when I did everything I could and I got the praise in form of financial success, it did not make me happy, you know, and it made me very upset because I have all the freedom in the world. I have so much money that I can share with all my loved ones. And I still do, and I feel emptiness inside. I feel like sorrow, sadness inside, like nothing makes me happy. Because all I see in the world is like wars and, you know, and hunger and, you know, so many bad things happening and things are not working. So like, and I cannot change that. Yes. So just closing myself from the rest of the world and, you know, enjoying cocktails on the beach, it's fun for 1 year. You know, but after you start still questioning, like why am I on this planet? You know, so this is what happened.
You mentioned that you know, you weren't terribly religious. You'd considered yourself an atheist, and that you you know, lots of people, when they convert or they start to look for to faith, to religion, for meaning and purpose, they kind of look at what's around them and they look that way. But you actually did some research on kind of the religion and what made the most sense to you, and you ended up picking a path. And in reading about you, you mentioned that at some point you witnessed your own death. Can you give us some context about that experience, what that was? I mean, I feel like that has, you know, without faith, that whole experience would be very, very different. And I'm curious, kind of now looking back on it, what that was and how you feel it came about.
Yes, so that happened to me in Miami when I was still doing drugs. So I had like a mixture of substances in me. It was like alcohol, cannabis, and cocaine. And I've been doing this for a while. And that was exactly the point when I was like really like couldn't sleep at night. I was just sit and think like, why are we here in this world? Like, what am I doing here? Like, what can I do for my life? Like, what can right. I change? I don't know who I want to be. So I was like really like isolating myself from everyone. Like, I did not like clubs did not make me happy anymore, because it was like just full of like shallow drunk people. But I was like really looking for answers. And at some point, I had this experience, like spiritual experience. I still don't understand, was it like only drugs, or was it only my head, or was it a mixture? I don't know, but it felt like reality. So at some point I just realized that it seemed to me that the end of the world is coming, like a flood. So it was raining outside, like really heavy rain. And I somehow thought that, okay, that's it. It's going to be flood and everyone will disappear. This is the end. And I was like trying to like save myself from this flood. And I was running away. And somehow I heard some noise, some sound from the top of the building. So I went to the top of the building, to the last floor. And I was trying to find where the sound is coming from. It sounded like someone was calling me or something. So it was like calling. And there on top of the building, I went like to the end of the corridor and I saw two doors in front of me. So I just felt like I need to go to one room, which was like on the right. And I pressed the handle, it was open. So I went inside that room and it was empty. So it looked like an apartment, but with a big empty room, and all the walls were covered with glass, like transparent glass. And I could see outside that the rain is falling and the dark sky. And there was like a big, big table, long table, and one chair next to it. And somehow I understood that this is it. This is like my judgment place or something. So I always died. And so now I'm in this place where now my destiny is going to be decided where I'm going next. So I started crying, and I was like, oh my God, but I didn't accomplish anything in my life. I'm just starting to look for answers. And I was like, and I started to talk to invisible powers, like, can you please return me back to Earth? Like, can you please not kill everyone, like, now? Can you please stop this flood? And I will do my best to do something, as like to make people, you know, better humans. And after this, so the rain stopped, and I saw the light coming from this from the windows, and I saw some signs. So it was I don't know, it looked like some letters in some language, maybe like something like Aramaic, I don't know. So some ancient language, which I don't know. And so I heard I just heard some information in my head that, okay, so I'm granted one more chance. And so from there, I left this room in shock. I came back to my apartment. And basically from that moment, I started looking for a religion to join. And I started to look for, you know, I started to check on TV and I started to look in my phone, like what kind of church can I go to? Because the Russian Orthodox Church did not appeal to me at all. So this is how I found maybe the channel with Billy Graham, when he was speaking and he was talking about Jesus Christ. And I said, okay, from this moment, I'm a believer of Jesus Christ. And this is how my journey starts at the church. And so it was very helpful for me and this community and this church. And after I left from Miami, when I went to Moscow, I also tried to join the Protestant church there. So first I went to Russian Orthodox Church and I said, okay, I want to volunteer. Can I help you in any way? They're like, no, we don't need volunteers. You can give us money and go.
Okay.
Yeah, and the Protestant church also they were nicer, like much nicer. They had the community there. But also when I asked them, like, if I want to volunteer and help them, they said I need to be coming just to the service for 1 year, and after 1 year I can volunteer. I can do something. So it was, I don't know, it was a little bit too much for me because I didn't know if I will stay in Moscow for 1 year. It was not my plan. I just wanted to do something straight away, to be a part of community. And also my dream was to be a preacher at that time. Because after I heard Billy Graham, I also heard many other people. And so I was dreaming that I will be a Russian preacher, a woman, which never happened in Russia. I would be the first one. And even when I returned to Moscow, I tried to connect it with the Christian network there and with the television. And I was trying to send letters there and ask them, I want to work. But it was not successful. And then the COVID started, as I said, so I decided that I will become a psychologist. It's going to be a better path for me because the church is very conservative and it's not going to work for me. Our collaboration is not going to happen. So yeah. So it's better if I become a psychologist and help people from this perspective.
Yeah, that was kind of where I was going with that, because it seems to me that you only have so much faith and belief in you. And if you're going to have this undying faith in spirituality and all it entails with religion, you need some of that to go and make these changes in your life and help people. And when people come to you with their problems, you know, you're asking them to be honest with themselves and put this faith in themselves that the work that you guys are going to do together is going to result in the changes, and not the faith in this unseen thing that's going to, you know, that's putting you in these positions for a reason and you'll come out stronger. Like, to me, it seems like at some point you have to decide whether you're going to do this work yourself through the, you know, the psychology and working with someone, or there's a divine purpose for you. And to me, it seems like, and I don't know, I'm not, it's just in my head, that's like, at some point you kind of, I don't want to say pick one or the other, but there's only so much faith to go around. Are you putting it in yourself, or are you putting it in a divine being that's leading your life, right?
Yes, I think that faith in divine being is necessary because for sure there is something divine out there that created our world because it's magical. It couldn't just happen out of nothing. But I believe that this divine being wants us to be our own saviors.
Right.
It doesn't want us to wait for external power. And there is a saying that God only has our hands, because God doesn't have real hands. So the only hands he has is ours. So we are here to do the job, basically, for ourselves and for other people. But simply praying and waiting, it's a form of procrastination. And it like in my lifetime, it didn't bring like fruits to any result. Because look at these wars that are happening. Like millions of people are praying, but nothing is happening. unfortunately, so for sure there should be another strategy of working with this. But right now there is a strategy of praying, and there is a strategy of attacking. Yes. So, yep. So neither of these work for our, I think, humanity. So there must be something else. And psychology is a great tool, because it's kind of helps people to understand their mentality, how people think, and, you know, in general, the purpose of life. And I believe when everyone is, and everyone will be, devoted or dedicated to bettering their own life and the life around them, then the world will finally become a better place.
Yeah, and I think that's, I mean, that's a very noble belief and pursuit, but you're in a position where you're actually doing that. Like your purpose at this point is making the world a better place around you. You're taking on clients and you're helping them, you know, maybe not around you like physically, but you're working with people and you're giving them tools and helping them sharpen their own skills to go and make the world a better place around them. After, you know, a number of years of, you know, maybe not on purpose, but you were very, very much enriching yourself, right? The path you were on, you were working. Do you, like, aside from like the internal gratification, is there something different, noticeably different about those two way of lives where you say, I previously used to, you know, make money and was corporately driven to do these things for my own benefit. And now you're doing something and, you know, maybe you don't make as much money and maybe it's not as prestigious. You don't have people that are vying for your time as they would in a corporate setting, but you have a meeting with someone and they have a breakthrough or they're just better than they were when they started, where you go, that's better. I'm enjoying this better. Like those cognizant moments where the change has been worth it.
Absolutely, yes. And I am very happy that I made this choice, because, you know, for sure, I don't want to see myself in the end of my life where I'm an ex real estate broker, you know.
Totally,
and
yeah.
I didn't do anything valuable in life. So I just did a job that any other person could do, right. Like a generic job. Because, you know, if I'm completely replaceable, and so there wasn't like a value in my life. But as a psychologist, I am able also to educate people, and well, right now it's just a few, because I'm new in this, but this is absolutely normal, like in any career. When I started my path as a business person, I also started very small. But then, let's say, in 10 years, I grew up and became very big, very successful. So I hope that in 10 years from now, I will have, I don't know, maybe my own show or my own podcast. And I will have millions of people who are watching me, and I can share wisdom much in much bigger quantities, let's say. And also by that time, I will have a lot of more experience. And it will really influence the world and society, because especially like me being Russian and Ukrainian, and who spent most of your life living in like Europe and United States. So, and also I lived in Asia and Africa. So I live like all over the world, and I have, I think, unique perspective that all people are like meant to be in peace with each other. This is number one thing. And I think that any peace is better than war. And we have to like come to this conclusion as a society, and hopefully in some years all the wars will disappear, and this will be the biggest gift to our world, when you know, when people will learn how to live in peace with each other instead of like attacking and dividing the world.
I want to be respectful of your time, and I just have a couple more things to ask about. One is, I'd like to talk a little bit about the book that you just wrote, and understand what the thought process and the decision making that went into decide to write a book, and what you're hoping to achieve with that.
So when I started to reach out to people in addiction groups, like in Facebook addiction groups, I found a lot of people who ask me if I take insurance, and they don't have any money, they lost their jobs. And there was like a lot of people like that, or there were like some young people who didn't even have jobs, they were still in school. So that made me want to write a book where I can put my therapy tools, because I cannot spend all of my time working for free, because I need to make a living. But I still want to help them, I really do. And so that was the reason behind me writing this book. And so I hope I can reach people with this. I'm planning to publish it on Kindle within a week or two, because I haven't done that yet. But I believe with Kindle, you can even read it for free online. So it's going to be valuable to many people.
Well, that's very, very generous and altruistic. I hope that it works out, because I know from my own experience dealing with psychologists and having to go and talk to people, often it is at you're at a low spot, you know, maybe you've lost a job or there's been a change in your life, and sometimes that help can feel kind of just out of reach. So having a book that you can go and read and get started on yourself, I think that's a huge leg up for people that are trying to take that first step. They don't have to share anything with anyone. They can just go and read it. And the parts that make sense, they can read 2, 3, 4 times, and it'll give them the confidence to start reaching out and getting the help that may be available for them that they just don't know how to ask for.
Absolutely. And after reading my book, they basically don't need any other help, because what I teach people is how to plan your life. And I think this is the basic knowledge that everyone should have, regardless if they have an addiction or they don't have an addiction, because for sure, at some point in life, someone will experience some sort of trauma or disappointment. And it will be very painful for them, and they might lose their direction, like it happened to me, and it also happened to so many people who I know. And it can happen, let's say, at a very basic level. It can happen at a very high level. So for me, let's say it happened somewhere in the middle, but there are a lot of people who reach like an absolute top in their career, and they didn't know where to move, like Matthew Perry, who unfortunately passed away. If I was lucky to work with him, I would probably help him, because I believe that people like that who reach the top in their path, they should just like look for a redirection, because the human brain is designed that way. When it reaches a top of something, like it stumbles and it might deteriorate, because we are made to achieve goals one after another, more and more. This is how our brain is designed. Our brain is not designed to rest at all. So the moment the brain will rest, it will seek external pleasure, like watching pornography or excessive shopping or alcohol and drugs. This is like the first thing. Yes, right. Because the brain urges something. And then also there is a let's say, it's in human nature to seek for some, let's say, greatness or some kind of like experience to overcome yourself in something. So most people don't do that because no one teaches us that. So no one taught me this strategy, not in school, not in the University of Economics, not even in School of Psychology. They didn't teach me that. They taught me like different techniques, but I had to figure out that the most important thing from everything I learned in my life was that I need to schedule and like structure my life towards specific goals, and not just like one goal, like I want to make so much money. No, because I did that and it did not work for me, unfortunately. So I also wanted like to live in Miami. It was my dream. I did that and it did not work for me. So we have to like focus on the big picture. There are 8 pillars of happiness, which are listed in my book or also on my website. And we have to make like a table of goals for like ultimate goals until the end of our life for all these 8 aspects of our life. And only then, after we do it, we can really see the big picture. And then it becomes much easier because then we just filter everything that comes our way. Like, does it serve my goals or not? Does this person serve my goals or not? Does this purchase serve my goals or not? Absolutely everything. And since I'm doing this, my life became so much easier. You know, because I don't wait for instant gratification. I understand that it might take me maybe 5 years to become like big and famous, and I will have like a line of clients waiting for me. But I know that step by step I'm doing it, and even that thought already like brings me satisfaction. So instead of, focusing on the big money, I focus on a long-term goal, and it makes me much more satisfied and happier because this is how the brain works.
So the way I like to end the podcast is where I ask the guest what the idea of success was and what it is now and what's changed in their life to change their idea of success. Obviously, you've had a lot of success in your life. You've had a lot of trauma that's kind of changed the way you think about things. So what is your idea of success today? And what has gone into the view of maybe what you first thought when you were striking out as an adult? What success looked like then?
So before, when I was younger, I thought success is mainly like financial, and so that was a mistake because money is good. It supports the lifestyle. It gives the freedom. But in the end, you're not taking like money with you when you're going. And the money, you know, it's such a thing. You know, I noticed when I give people money, they were grateful. But let's say after one day, they forgot about this. Because the money is such a thing, like the moment you take it, you spend it, you forget about it. And this is how it works. And also, like when people, let's say, die and they leave inheritance for their successors, their children, there is also a lot of like drama going on between like children and grandchildren. They're like fighting for the money, fighting for the property, you know. And so it brings like a lot of like struggle and drama around that. So when I experienced that also with my own grandmother and my own family, we had this big problem with the properties. So the whole family basically fell apart because of this. So I realized that I don't want to be just, you know, accumulating wealth and leaving it for my children, whom I will have hopefully someday, because it will not make them better people. They might go and spend the money, they might go invest it in a project, and the project will fail. So it will be like a waste of my life time because it is not going to help them to become better people. So I would rather accumulate knowledge how to be a happy and healthy person, and how to be useful for a society as a whole, because we are a part of society and we need to do something useful for the people around them and the people in the world. So I believe that wealth is something you leave behind when you're not there anymore. How you will be remembered by your children and by the other people that were in your life, and this is the most important thing. So it's necessary to keep a balance between like your personal happiness, the things what you want to do and what you enjoy, and at the same time to have a bigger picture that what will you leave behind you and how you will be remembered and how you can help other people. So this necessary balance can be achieved when you plan life ahead in all these eight aspects which I was talking about earlier. And so it's this kind of mindset and knowledge.
The Second Act Podcast would like to thank Ben Sound for the intro and outro music, Happy Rock. We would also like to thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, please like, subscribe, and give us any feedback you can. Thanks for listening.